Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Dr. Ed Staffel. You're listening to the Dr. Staffel program, and your smile matters. Just finished up with, I hope you were just listening to Randy Adams. He has so much information. When we talk between programs here, it's amazing what's happening in the automobile world. And this is, of course, something that everybody has to have, and his knowledge is immense. And we're so fortunate in KTSA to have him to guide us. And, of course, you're listening, of course, at KTSA 550 AM and 107.1 FM on this Sunday afternoon. I'm here every Sunday afternoon, 4 to 5, on KTSA. And I want to remind you of my podcast, which is, the address is staffeldds.podomatic.com. We have about 8 years archived on that podcast site. A lot of interesting guests and interesting programs, just like what we had had 2 weeks in July. One was on the 9th of July of this year, and the other one was last week, the 23rd on July. And this was Dr. Nathan Bryant, and he had so much valuable information. He's one of my mentors. I learn so much from him, and I can transfer that information to my patients, my wonderful patients, and my wonderful listeners. And that's what I do. I gather information. We read a lot. We gather a lot of information. We talk a lot to other professionals. And then I try to filter through that and bring that to your attention so that you can learn and have a really wonderful flow through of information to help you be healthier and live longer. And then, of course, we have a website, sanantoniodentist.net. Now, the podcast is really interesting. We have about 8 years archived, and now it's really gotten to be a big thing. Everybody's got a podcast now. But it is great technology, because you can Google up anything that's on the podcast. And, of course, my podcast is free. It's staffeldds.podomatic.com. And just like I said, you can get the last two episodes of Dr. Bryan talking about nitric oxide, which is such a valuable information. We'll talk about that later on in the program. And this, of course, is not having any guests. This is a call-in time. You're welcome to call in. You're welcome to present me with your questions, or you may just want to chit-chat about a dental oral health situation. And don't hesitate to call, please. And I can give you information and guide you on decision-making for your oral health. And maybe it's a dental situation that you've been trying to filter through, or you don't have enough information to make a decision on. I'll try to reinforce that for you, because I have a lot of wisdom to draw on. Been at this a long time, and be more than happy to help you. So don't hesitate to call, or if you want to talk about a dental situation or oral health situation and how it ties into general health. I am so happy to be able to add to your knowledge and data bank with information. So give me a call. Of course, the number, I'm sure you know, it's 599-5555. Whether you're wherever you are in the 100-county reach of KTSA, you can call in 599-5555. So, a brief review of Dr. Nathan Bryan, enlightening us on the latest research data about nitric oxide. Now, that's become one of the very hottest research topics, nitric oxide, because it has to do with promoting or having oxygen delivered in every cell of your body. And the University of Texas Medical School spent about 14 years and studying 400 different plants, because they thought they could get a better result than anything that had been tried before, such as nitroglycerin, to open up the arteries. And then it came along a enzyme of arginine, and that worked well. In fact, three pharmacologists won a Nobel Prize for it. But then there were a lot of people that found out that don't have the enzyme. They can't process the enzyme. They can't process the arginine. And so that didn't work out as well as they had hoped. That's when the University of Texas Medical School in Houston went to work and hired Dr. Nathan Bryant to be the lead investigator. He's an orthomolecular biologist. And they came up with beets and hawthorn, sodium nitrate and sodium nitrite, as being the magic bullet for producing nitric oxide in your bloodstream, which is going to open up your vessels and relax your vessels as much as 30% and up to 60%, depending upon how damaged the vessels are or how old they are. So this is something I encourage you to go to the free podcast of July 9th and July 23rd as we learn that nitric oxide is one of the most valuable molecules that function in our bodies. And in fact, research data shows that when not in sufficient amounts in our cellular levels, disease pathways begin and premature aging takes place. So it's just there are no side effects. It's an extremely safe thing. The University of Texas Medical School in Houston has about, I think, 8 or 9 patents on it. And they took, studied 400 different plants, and I think they took about 14 years to research this out, and they're reaping the benefits from it. They've licensed it out, and it's remarkable what they've done. That's the medical school in Houston. So it's getting a lot of traction in the cardiac field, cardiovascular field, and of course it's an over-the-counter product because it's a food supplement, and so you can really have a major impact on your blood pressure medication if reducing or even getting off of blood pressure medication after a period of time, just taking this plant-based, which is beets and hawthorn essentially. Beets, of course, have been used for thousands of years. They've known what their value is. So on the program of July 23rd, Dr. Bryan explained the oxygen saturation reading can look proper, but because of inadequate levels of nitric oxide, you can still be deficient in cellular oxygen. And that was one of the most important things that came out of that program last week, is that everybody's familiar with the oxygen saturation. That's a little reading that's put on your finger, and it shows the percent of oxygen in your bloodstream as a percent of 100. Normal is about 94, 95. And anytime that oxygen saturation goes below 94, it indicates there's some problem. It can be from a number of different sources. But what he explained, and this was so the first time that I had learned of this, and it was so interesting, is that you can have a great reading. You can have a 98% oxygen saturation reading and still have inadequate levels of oxygen because the nitric oxide is not present in the cells, and so you have a deficiency of cellular oxygen. And this is really interesting, and interesting from the standpoint that we talk about sleep disordered breathing and getting our oxygen saturation levels up, and the oxygen saturation numbers, how important they are and how much they determine having restore health through oxygen. And then this new factor about the nitric oxide, if it's not in adequate amounts in the cells, it's going to be less than adequate for your sleep disordered breathing. So that was so valuable, and that was one of the main points I took away. There were several things, and I have to go back and listen to it because he talked about so many things. His information is huge and gets pretty technical at times, and so I'm going to go back over it, and then I'll bring out these points. But that's one of the main takeaways is that just because you have an oxygen saturation reading that looks adequate, like 94, 95, 96% on that little oxygen saturation finger cot or finger measurement, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have sufficient cellular oxygen unless you have adequate nitric oxide. And, of course, the best way to get it is through the Neo 40, now called Human to the End Power. They've changed the name, and you can buy it anywhere. You can buy it online. You can buy it in professional offices. We carry a large supply because we sell out so fast, and people wanting and have found the value of it, and it's really, really worthwhile. So anyway, that's what was on last week's program, and also on the 9th of July, I urge you to go to the podcast. And I also, if you don't have access to the podcast, I will be reviewing both of these and bringing you features of those programs, because this is powerful, powerful, helpful material to helping you live healthier. Because if you have a disease pathway, there's generally a nitric oxide deficiency in the cellular level. And it has also to do with the very important longevity factor of being aging well and comfortably and efficiently. So, the takeaway that I received was that sleep-disordered breathing, and we've talked about that so many times for so many months, and that can be fixed with dental appliances or CPAP breathing devices or surgery, but that the equation is not complete without the new Neo 40 formula to restore the nitric oxide levels in the cells of the body. And I've been to multiple meetings on sleep disordered breathing. I have had conversations with sleep doctors and go to a sleep doctor because I use a CPAP myself, but never at any time have they discussed the value of the Neo 40 restoring levels of oxygen in all cells of the body. And of course, one of the most famous speakers is Dr. Andrew Weil. Now, he's an MD. He's trained in Harvard Medical School. He teaches alternative medicine. The last count was 3 medical schools. He says that proper cellular oxygen can prevent a large number of diseases and help cure a lot of medical problems. So Dr. Andrew Weil is so well known, so well established in the alternative medicine field, even though he's a traditional medical doctor. So I wanted to pass that on because I have not heard that discussed in sleep disordered breathing and all the programs I've been to. And I want you to understand that that's so valuable. The Neo 40 is very, very helpful. This was new info to me, and I haven't seen it discussed with any of the sleep disordered breathing courses. And this, to my evaluation, is a key, huge factor for health and slowing the aging process. And who doesn't want to slow that aging process down? Because it sure moves fast. And one of the things I see in my patients is loss of mobility and cognitive decline, and it's happening at a pretty substantial rate. And then when you study the statistics and the numbers for the entire nation, it's really developing to be a problem. So if there are ways to help this and we're going to bring them to you. And this is one of the number one ways to do this. And along with other things. But keep that in mind. So on the subject of sleep-disordered breathing, Dr. Jose Barrera, who's an MD, he's triple boarded, and he spoke to our dental group about the surgical management of obstructive sleep apnea. And we're so fortunate that in San Antonio we have a person that's of his caliber. He is trained out of Stanford. He trains now surgeons from the Mayo Clinic. And Johns Hopkins is wanting him to train their surgeons, but he doesn't have time. And he's retired from the military. He handled the military's programs out at BAMC and Lackland for sleep apnea. And he's one of the great surgeons for this particular procedure. And it's great to know that this serious health problem can be remedied in one of three different pathways that can hugely improve your health and longevity. And of course, for mild and a diagnosed case of sleep-disordered breathing, and the mild or medium of diagnosis of sleep-disordered breathing, a dental appliance is very valuable, very helpful. And sometimes it's even combined with the CPAP machine breathing device. But a dental device can really make a big difference to a lot of people. If you have a mild or moderate diagnosis of sleep apnea. And one thing I want to, while I'm on the subject, I want to talk to you about the dental school here in San Antonio and the medical school here in San Antonio. They have a sleep disordered breathing correction program, both from the medical standpoint, the school, and both the dental school. In fact, the dental school is advertising for people with this problem. Dr. John Ruh, that's R-A-U-G-H, is the head of the program. He's doing research on this. They're looking for people they can do research on. I do believe, I'm not a positive of that, but I believe that they are soliciting people who would like to be treated in the dental school or the medical school for these sleep disordered breathing programs, correction programs. And then I do a free screening exam, and this includes an electronic screening device that you wear for 2 or 3 nights, and then I can evaluate and direct you to a solution. So it's a free screening, and every patient is seen in my office, the hygienist and myself, will screen for the obstruction that we can see that might be present in the back of the pharynx, or the back of the throat. And if it's warranted, you can, with our regular fee examination, we provide this free electronic scanning device that you wear for 2 or 3 nights, and then the data that's accumulated on that device, we can direct you to a solution. So call our office, talk to Beth or Priscilla. The number is 210. The number is 341-2569. 210-341-2569. And all of our patients are examined for this problem, because it's being recognized as being a major, major epidemic. And a lot of the symptoms that are generated by the sleep disordered breathing are treated with pharmaceuticals by medical doctors, when it's really a mechanical problem. And that's what's so important. So diagnosis of, as to whether or not a dental appliance can help, or a CPAP mask, or a surgical solution, And this includes snoring. That's the first sign. Holding your breath while sleeping. Well, you've been observed sleeping if you're holding your breath. And then, of course, that's a little screening device that I'm talking about. It picks that up real nicely, that free examination that we have. And then, of course, sleepiness during the waking hours and fatigue. Don't fight this alone. This is such a valuable, valuable service that the medicine and dentistry offers. And another thing I want to point out that apparently, and this comes from research from the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, that a lot of truck drivers, because they have sleep disordered breathing, are driving in a state of drowsiness or sleepiness, and in these 18-wheelers especially, because they're traveling all over the country, and their schedules are such that they don't have time to see regular dentists or physicians. We have some truck drivers in our practice, and they're driving all over the country, and it's very difficult to get them to get scheduled because their schedules vary so much. So there's apparently, and I just have been told this from the meetings, that there are a lot of truck drivers who are suffering from this problem, and I would caution people when they're approaching and driving around a truck to give them plenty of clearance and don't crowd them, because if they're suffering from this, their reflexes are not as good as what you might expect. So just keep that in mind. We'll try to bring you more up-to-date information on that. But, of course, this is a problem with people driving and having a sleep-disordered breathing, that they get drowsy and don't have the reflexes that they do or should have or normally do. So this is something for a person's safety that's so wonderful when this is corrected. So there are many aspects to this problem, and fortunately, San Antonio is a solution leader helping people's lives flow more cleanly through better dentistry and medicine. And San Antonio has some great institutions here with the medical hospitals and the medical teaching hospital and the dental school, a brand new dental school. It is state of the art, turning out some great graduates. And then they have a great resident program both in the medical school and the dental school. And we are so lucky in San Antonio to have this type of education facility available to us. So keep that in mind, and these facilities are there to be used. They have a great intramural practice in both medicine and dentistry. So some people like to use them, and that's fine. So this was, as I mentioned, this is new info to me, and I haven't seen it discussed in the sleep disordered breathing courses, and it's such a huge factor for health and slowing the aging process. So we must offer the wisdom of experience that we have learned to those around us. And this is one of my commitments. I have gained a lot of wisdom through the years, and I study all the time. I continuously go to continuing education courses, and we want to be helping people's lives flow more cleanly through better dentistry. And some of the things that we look for so closely are inflammation and then infection and then traumatic tooth wear and then difficult cleansing areas. And so it's a continuous process, and we remain open to the wisdom that comes to us, and that we seek some of these things to that help me keep me so committed to learning new things about dental health. And some of the things that keep me so committed are the fabulous array of new and improved technology, and this is what I bring to my patients. And this is something that I enjoy so very much. Started out in practice when there was, compared to what we have now, the technology was really, you could say it was primitive. And so now that's changed completely, and the technology that we have is just unbelievable. Let me go to the lines here a moment. Let me talk to Alan. Alan, how are you today?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Dr. Chappell. How you doing?
Wonderful. How may I help you?
Oh, yes, sir. So you were talking about truck drivers and the sleep apnea problem. Yeah. And so
yes.
I was just going to tell you a couple of things that I know because I'm a truck driver. And so,
please.
And so, some of the larger truck driving companies actually screen their drivers.
Oh, great.
And so, you know, if you are overweight by a certain amount.
Yes.
And also if your neck size.
Yes.
A certain circumference, you know, I think it's
right.
30 inches.
No, your neck size, you're talking about 17.
Okay, yeah, okay.
little bit larger.
Okay, yeah, 17. Okay, I couldn't remember the number.
That's all right. But that's exactly right.
Yeah, so around. So so if you fall into any of those criteria, uh-huh. then they'll ask you to do an overnight sleep study. And
fabulous.
They bring in a outside company. And,
okay.
And they actually somebody... They have you sleep in their facility, and they actually spend quite a bit of money to address this problem, you know. And
well, it's a cheap investment because when that truck hits somebody, then it's a pittance. Those tests are not that expensive. That's the neat thing.
Compared to the possible results, you know, that's right.
But the actual cost of a sleep study. Because most of that's
right.
Covered by insurance or Medicare or so on, but most
sure.
Insurance. So that's really good news. Well, I did not know that, and I really thank you for bringing that. But now, how saturated is this to compare to all the truck drivers? Is this a small percentage of the drivers that are being falling into this category, or
well,
is it an unknown number, or what? What does your industry say?
Weight tends to be a problem with truck drivers because they tend to have a lot of disposable income, but they don't have a lot of exercise, you know, and so
right.
And so there ends up being a lot of overweight drivers, so the larger truck driving companies are addressing this, but you know. There's a high percentage of the trucks that you see
mm-hmm.
out there are owner-operators, and so they're, like, independent, and so
yeah.
You know, they don't get any outside help unless they seek
right.
it themselves, you know.
Right. And the patients that I have generally been in that category, and it's very difficult for them to get their schedules aligned because they're moving all over the country, of course. But that's good to know. It'd be interesting to see if the industry couldn't work together to bring the independents into a fold where they could get this treatment as a co-op.
Yeah, you know, I think probably regulatory bodies would probably have to do that. I'm not I don't know how that could be done, but that's...
Well, just in a co-op situation, that is where truck drivers can band together, independent truck drivers, you know, banding together in a group, they can get a lot of, they can drive down the cost of these examinations. Co-ops have worked very well for years and years, and this is possibly an avenue if you have an independent trucker organization to bring a co-op together for just this purpose. It could be huge.
Yes, sir. Okay, all right. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much for bringing that to our attention. Really appreciate that for calling
in.
Okay. That's great information. Now let me go to Sue. Sue, how are you?
I'm very fine, and I know I listen to you regularly, and I love what you do, and I appreciate all of your efforts to stay ahead of the game, so to speak.
But well, thank you.
I have a piece of information for you to all add right to your repertoire of data.
Drop it on me.
Okay. I can't give you a lot of details because there's litigation involved with
okay.
it. But I had a one-car wreck, and my I blacked out,
uh-huh.
and my primary, this was before I got the test from the hospital, but my primary said, I told her I had carbon monoxide poisoning because I had recognized it. She said, no, you had either sleep apnea
uh-huh.
or AFib.
Yes.
And I said, well, I know I don't have sleep apnea, but she made me get tested for both. And of course, I was clean with both.
Okay.
When I got the release papers from the hospital, they had to do an arterial draw
mm-hmm.
To determine if carbon monoxide was in the blood.
Right.
They found that I had 4.1%, and it was diagnosed as carbon monoxide poisoning.
What was the source?
Well, I was in a car.
Oh, my goodness.
It had to be from the car, but
yeah.
there were two issues that if I had not experienced it ahead of time
uh-huh.
and actually had to demand that the hospital do that blood draw because they had to get a PICC line nurse down to do this.
Goodness.
And so I do have that, you know, that affidavit from the hospital say it was uh-huh. carbon monoxide poisoning, but I had experienced it. And that's the only way that we would have known why I blacked out.
How had you experienced it before?
I was in the back seat of a car decades
okay.
ago and
okay.
got really sleepy. And
yeah.
we finally stopped and got out and got a breath of fresh air mm-hmm. and figured out there was a leak, you know, back there. It's a real heaviness. It's not a sleepiness. It's
right.
just this heaviness that comes over you.
Wow.
And if I had been on I-35, I had just gotten off of it. If I had been on I-35, me and others would have been dead.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, you know, that's so valuable. I had some very good friends up in Dallas when I was living in Dallas, and they built a new house, and the plumber installed the plumbing heater system in backwards. And
oh.
so it almost killed them. They were very lucky. the father was a tall person, and he had the least exposure blood-wise, and he woke up and got everybody out of there because he recognized it. He was a pathologist, and it's a problem. I could imagine. So that's I'm glad you're alive and you're glad you made it, but that's interesting information.
Well, and I suspect there are more truck drivers that have these one-car accidents that it could maybe attributed to carbon monoxide rather than sleep
yeah.
apnea.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very possible. Well, thank you very much for calling in with that.
Well, thank you for all you do.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Now then. I was talking about technology and how much it's changing and how I embrace it and have embraced it for years. And like one of the things that's coming up that's so fascinating, and we'll be going into this, I've had scanners for a long time. Scanners are an electrical device that scans digitally the teeth. And I've had one for many years, and it always lacked a lot of features. They never had it as good as it could be. And they've right now, this year, it seems like they're coming out with some tremendous clarification of these scanners. There are about six companies working and bringing things together. They're vying for market share, and it's very competitive now. And so labs have already been using them for a long time. They've had to because they can't get young people to do any of this, and the scanners can take a digital impression and then put it into a milling machine, that data into a milling machine, and the machine robotically designs your crown and carves a crown out to accuracies of 50 microns, and now they have it down to 7 microns, which is just unheard of. So this is where everything is going. It's already been that way in the lab, in the dental labs for a long time, because the average age of a lab technician is in about, I think the last I saw was about 53. So young people are not going into it as readily, and because it's a challenging field, and the dentist is as a dentist, we are only as good as our lab technician. So when we find a good technician, we really hang on to them. And of course, that's what I've done through the years. And it's taken me a long time to find and comb out people that are really, really good. And so the whole process is going to these scanners, and we'll be updating pretty soon this year our scanners to where we can, you won't have any more impressions, impression material. You won't have any more gagging or anything like that. You just take have this little wand type of thing. We've been using it for Invisalign and some other things, but now we have it to where we can use it for just about everything, and that is a huge value to the patient. The accuracy, the convenience, the comfort. And so this is part of the technology I'm talking about, and this is what keeps me going, and I just love to get into this technology and bring it to my patients. And our work is so good now, it's incredible compared to what it was in the past, and it's, again, because of the advancing technology. Technologies, and of course we're artfully blending technology and biology and physiology and aesthetics in one of the most comfortable scenarios that you can have. And of course we use the NUCOM system, and we have different systems involved with sedation and making you comfortable. It is just marvelous to where you can have the most comfortable dental appointment, and we can help you choose from these different systems whether you need something for low fear or low anxiety or high anxiety, or if you just want really a comfortable dental visit. We can provide that to you. So if you have a fear or an anxiety issue, doesn't matter how bad it is, give us a call. It's Dr. Staffel and Associates, and our number is 210-341-2569, 210-341-2569, and give us a call. We'll be more than happy to help you. And one thing that I want to bring to your attention, and this is for the patient's protection. And the Dental Practice Act, and the Dental Practice Act puts in rules and regulations, and the Texas legislature got involved this year, and they made major changes to the Dental Anesthesia and Sedation in the Dental Practice Act. And what that means is that the patients are being protected more than ever with any kind of dental anesthesia and dental sedation. There have been some cases throughout the country where pediatric patients have died in a dental office. So this has been taken under the wings of the state of the Texas legislature, and then they made changes to the Dental Anesthesia and Sedation in the Dental Practice Act. So it expands the scope of the board's rulemaking authority on anesthesia. The board is working on new anesthesia rules, and they'll be considered very shortly in September. And this includes all forms of anesthesia. And they're tiered permits. There's nitrous oxide, which is one of the safest agents available. It's been around for 170 years and still is a great, very safe agent. Then there's minimal sedation, which is like the nitrous oxide. And then there's level two, moderate sedation, which is using a pill to produce moderate sedation. And minimal sedation also will use a pill. And then, of course, there's level three, which is IV sedation. That's when you get a go to an oral surgeon or a periodontist. And some general dentists, they will do IV sedation. And then there's level four, which is general anesthesia. And that has to be done by a very highly trained dental or general anesthesiologist. So then the board is establishing qualifications for obtaining each permit, including education and training. And then they can come in at any time and inspect to make sure that a dentist's records are up to date. And they can check and make sure that you have emergency preparedness for emergencies. And these inspections can be made at any time of an office site, equipment, a facility, and any document of the dentist. So this is a broad-reaching thing that's been enacted. And during an inspection, the board may evaluate dentist competency in the administration of anesthesia. No notice is required to be given before conducting an inspection. So what this means is that you as a patient are being protected better than ever in history with dental anesthesia and sedation. So I just want to bring that to your attention, because that's a very important thing for dentists especially. We started out, like I started out, there was no rules or regulations many years ago, and we'd use these little phenobarbital pills. It was pretty minimal. And then as about 1989, things started to change, and we started using the triazolam and sedation pills. And so it's advanced since that time to quite a different level. So the whole point that the reason I bring this up is because I advertise for high fear, high anxiety patients, and we use sedation, we use the pills for the high fear, and some of these people have such high fear and from dental trauma or from different situations that they cannot sit in a dental chair and have their dental work done without being sedated pretty heavily. And so I want, now my point is that you can feel very, very comfortable and very secure that the Dental Practice Act that the Texas legislature made changes to, dental anesthesia and sedation, you can be very assured that you're in safe hands at any dental office who has these permits, these level one, whether they be a level one permit, a level two permit, level three, or a level four permit. You can be very assured that the dentist is very competent. And that's the main thing I wanted to get across for you. You needn't fear dental anesthesia. You needn't fear dental sedation. And there's a lot of it done. Just about every oral surgeon and every periodontist does a lot of level 3 IV sedation. And we don't use it so much in dental, in general dentistry, because it presents a problem. With water, a lot of water in the mouth, and so on. So, just wanted to get that point across. You need not fear dental anesthesia or dental sedation. It's highly, highly regulated now, more so than ever. So, back to the obstructive sleep apnea. It's estimated that 93% of females and 82% of males with moderate to severe obstructive sleep apnea have not been properly diagnosed. So this would go back to the gentleman who called in, the truck driver, and the large companies are having their drivers being screened, but the independents, apparently not so much. Now, again, as he pointed out, the percentage of people with obstructive sleep apnea is high in South Texas due to the high rate of obesity in this area. And, again, it's estimated that 93% of females and 82% of males with moderate to severe obstructive sleep apnea have not been properly diagnosed. And so this is something that you want to keep in mind. And also, this summer, the University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio is working to develop and assess an education program that will teach dental hygienists how to screen for sleep disordered breathing. And this is, and I salute the dental school and Dr. Rue for moving ahead with this, trying to expand this information, because it's just such a huge problem. Now, one of the things that we do, of course, is Invisalign, and I started doing Invisalign, which is Invisalign, if you probably know, you've seen it advertised, you've heard it about it. So many people have used or been in Invisalign treatment, and it just uses clear trays that are designed on a computer, and these trays you wear for a period of a week or 2 weeks, depending on how the treatment is designed, and there is a little surgical procedure. Doesn't involve anything other than making a pinpoint opening in the bone, or a little hole in the bone in between the teeth, and it speeds up the process of moving the teeth 50%. So if you have a diagnosis of your Invisalign treatment, going to be 12 months after the MOP procedure, it drops it to 6 months to completion. And then with these scanners and revisions, the iTero scanner has over 3.5 million scannings and cases that they have taken and compiled the data so that when they produce a design for straightening the teeth, they've seen it before and they've processed it before. So the Invisalign is a marvelous, marvelous way to get crooked teeth, especially when you're having difficulty cleaning them. That's one of the big problems. Or you're traumatizing your teeth. They're just beating up the teeth the way your teeth have shifted for different reasons. The Invisalign is really a wonderful way to have this done. And I've seen it continue. It started in 2000. I started doing it at that time, and it was not too good at that time. But they have gotten better and better and better, and now they have a fabulous array of new and improved technology, and it's an amazing process. And, of course, we provide that in our office. It's a wonderful way to help straighten your teeth and have longevity to your teeth, because teeth, we ask a lot of our teeth. They get beat up pretty badly. In the back teeth, you're chewing with pressures reach up 900 pounds per square inch. That's a lot of pressure. We ask a lot of our teeth. And the teeth can't repair themselves. And too frequently, we let these old amalgams, these silver fillings, these silver mercury fillings, stay in for years and years, and actually it goes on to decades. And as a result, the teeth break, they chip, they fracture, and then the nerve dies, and then you go into root canals, and then it's just a continuous problem until the extraction, and then you have to deal with partials or dentures or implants. And a tooth, however, is designed to last 80-plus years. And that's what it's programmed when it comes into the mouth, to last 80-plus years, and it is designed to be functioning for 80-plus years. And so we take that, that's our goal, is to make sure that our patients know everything they need to do to make those teeth last, because there's nothing as good as a natural tooth. We have implants and they're wonderful. I've been doing implants, dental implants, since 1978. But at the same time, a dental tooth that's healthy, that has a live nerve in there, there's nothing that can compare to it. And there's nothing that can give the longevity like a natural tooth. So we can help you design a plan to have your teeth last this long. We have patients that are over 100 years of age, and we've been taking care of for a long time, and they still have their teeth. They're still functioning very well. And we can design a program for you, and it may be something that you can't do all at one time, but you can do over a period of time, and you can have the most wonderful functioning set of teeth, as well as having a great smile and comfort and chewing any food that you want. And especially as people get older, this really becomes a strong feature. And you get into dry mouth, which is caused by over 400 different medications. And that looks like average person of a certain age is taking about 14 medications. So anyway, give us a call, Dr. Staffels and Associates, and the number is 210-341-2569. We can help you out with any of these issues. We'll be talking to you next week. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great week. Bye-bye.